Last time on Wanderlust.
Hey, sorry, I'm looking for Matthew.
Maddie! Maddie!
She opens the bag that she brought to show him because the other thing is all of those little flavor thimbles. All right, so I found this really weird place out there. This seems to be the food part, and all of these seem to be the flavors. Knowing you and your expertise, you might be able to recreate some of this as you try it, but these are all for you.
And I like the idea of calling them stamps because money is entirely abstract, so it's just stamped out of whatever thing that they can make to, like, make a smoky bank coin. How does Autumn envision earning stamps, or does she?
I think she does a lot of, like, she does a lot of the manual labor for building the new solarium.
Like, in this interim time, before you guys go back out into the wilds again, you've been working at your, at your veterinarian office?
Yes.
All right, so, Fred, you finally get to open your business, right? It's kind of like the first time you've been in town with enough time to, like, really be doing your business, right? Because you left pretty quickly before.
So, I've decided something about Fred. He always tries to overcharge. Like, he haggles for everything. He tries to overcharge, like I just did. And he also tries to upsell whenever he can.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
That's the angle I'm going. I think that's the angle I'm going
to
go with.
Estelle mentioned to Fred that she wanted a flashlight.
Juliet would like, this is going to sound real dumb. I don't know if your grandparents have one of those, like, little grabber tools.
Autumn, what's your thoughts?
A spear.
Glowy spear.
Autumn's really straightforward about this. I like that.
It will be actually four rolls because Fred is making himself an axe.
Hey, Maggie. I was just wondering if I could get a harness made for Guffy with, like, pockets on the side.
We got off on the wrong foot a little bit, I think. But I might have been projecting a little bit and not wanting to be mommed. Even if you weren't always doing that.
In a very good way, you can be very outgoing. I just don't always respond very well to that, if that makes sense. A new animal discovery that she's planning on submitting with the name Floating Babilius. I know you wanted to name them Bobs, but you have to pretend to make it sound scientific so that they'll accept it.
If I were to be going on a date where I learn to swim with someone, what should I wear?
You are asking the wrong person. Okay, yeah. I think we're definitely going to sit down with Juliet and we are going to take stock of our options. And between the three of us, we can figure this out.
She is going to be so happy to make us like 45 lists.
It's winding down towards evening, you know, it's dusk, the sun is starting to set, and Autumn, you make your way down towards the beach to meet Autumn, where she had told you that she was going to give you swimming lessons.
Woo!
At dusk, Smoky Banks, it definitely is less rainy than it is in the mornings, so it's kind of, the later it gets, the more clarity there is in the sky. So, like, finally, you know, the clouds overhead break. It's not overcast anymore. And you get to see, you know, the sun setting over the town. Walking, you know, through the gardens from the lofts down to the beach, it's clearly designed to look nice. Like, at some point, this is a little bit of a tourist trap town. And there are definitely a lot of people here. Like, there's a lot of people that are working on the new living place. So the beach is not empty by any means, but, you know, it's getting a little bit on in the evening, so it's less crowded than it would be. When you get there, at first, you feel like maybe you've been stood up, like you don't immediately see Willow standing on the beach. But as you look out over, like, you know, over the water, you see her, like, way off in the distance on one of those, like, solar surfboards. Not necessarily going crazy, but just, like, kind of skittering along, just kind of having like a pleasant, like almost like a, you know, like kayak ride vibes, right? Like, so not nearly killing herself, but just kind of having like a peaceful ride on a solar board.
I do like how you described the most quintessential date thing where it's like you get there and you don't see him immediately and you're like, I'm being stood up. You know, that's the most logical explanation. It's not that I might not see them. It's that, no, I am being stood up.
As you stand there a little bit longer, you see the board turn in and come in towards the beach. And Willow hops off when the board kind of like hits the surf and like kind of not breaking stride. Like the board comes up on the beach and she just hops off and just starts walking up to you. She smiles and gives you a hug when she sees you and goes, well, I'm so glad you decided to show up. I thought that you might decide that, you know, you were too good to learn to swim.
How could I decline lessons from someone as pretty as you?
Well, now, what you should be asking yourself is how could you deny lessons from someone who is as skilled of a swimmer as I am? I've lived here my whole life and I've never once drowned. So, let's get started.
How long did it take you to come up with that line, Cody?
That was fully off the cuff. What it is, Zach, is I am witty and clever.
Well, it's good. I've recorded with you long enough to know.
Zach's falling in love with you all over again, Cody.
I mean, Autumn.
She leads you over to her solar port and goes, so, I do have, like, floaties if you want, or, you know, you can just kind of... I won't let you drown, I promise.
I mean, if you're not going to let me drown, I think I'm good.
So, you hop on the board, and, like, she doesn't, like, stand up on it. She just kind of, like, kneels on it and, like, fires up the engine. There's, like, basically a solar collector on it. And you feel two little motors, like, hum up as she, like, hums over the, like, kind of gentle waves of the evening out into, like, enough depth in the water that if you... jump off the board, you're like bobbing up to your chin, right? Make me an athletics check.
Yay, I'm good at that. That'll be a 6.
So, I guess you tell me how you want your character to respond in this case, given that it goes well.
I don't know. I fit, like, because we're like jumping in and she's trying to like show me how to swim. Right.
Well, yeah, I guess you do pretty well with that, though.
I think it's like most everything Autumn does athletically. It just like comes very natural where it's like
you look good doing it. Like yeah, you look graceful doing it. Not like you've never been in the water before.
Exactly. It's not like I'm not clumsy. I'm not flailing. It's like, did she know how to swim? And then it's like having to explain like very basic things. You know, it's like, you know, where it's like, OK, like. If you're hammering something, you know how to nail gut, you know how to hit a nail, and then all of a sudden, like, well, I had to show them that. But then they, like, framed a whole house in an afternoon, so I'm a little confused.
So, like, you guys hop in, and Willow is, like, pretty sincerely actually trying to teach you how to swim. Like, she legitimately seems concerned that you have no idea how to swim. So she's, like, having you float and is, like, kind of, like, holding you up and making sure you don't drown. Like, okay, like, you can lean back. You won't, you know, like, this is how you float.
Autumn is, she is taking it seriously, even if she's good at, you know, like.
Right, right.
She's not being a jerk about it, very specifically.
You know, and then she, like, shows you some basic, like, I don't know how to swim. She, like, shows you some basic.
Do you not know how to swim?
But, like, not really. Like,
okay, before you go out kayaking again, we're definitely going to go swimming, Cody.
let me explain this better. I know how to...
Let me write a date on your hand so that you can...
I know how to float and not die, and I know that you, like, kick and do this, and then you move forward. I don't know what that's called.
Are you talking about freestyle?
I don't know.
Okay, freestyle, breaststroke... You're not teaching her butterfly, and you're not. We might teach her backstroke.
You should teach her how to tread water.
Willow teaches you all of those things that Mandy just said because she took swim lessons growing up. I know I grew up someplace cold.
I was on the swim team,
and I actually legitimately learned how to swim relatively late, like significantly older than my son that knows how to swim already. I was in school, like I was pretty old. Anyways. So, yeah, so she, like, walks you through all of the, like, basics, like, once you obviously know how to float pretty quickly, and she's, like, doing the thing where she's, like, correcting your form a la flirty golfing.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, you know what I mean. She's ghost pottering you, you know.
Yeah.
And so, like, pretty quickly, it, like, just kind of descends into you guys, just, like, kind of swimming around her board, just kind of, like, laughing and joking as you've clearly gotten comfortable in the water as you roll the six. At this point now, the sun's setting, and, you know, it's getting calmer. The beach is largely emptied, and Willow's floating just kind of next to you. Are you leaving soon?
Do we have a date when we're leaving?
You don't have a specific date, but the sheriff did ask you to leave.
Okay, I didn't know if we'd all, like, decided at any point.
I would say it would be soon, yeah.
Probably the next day or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say yes, soon, but not specific date yet.
So next day or two is fine to assume.
Well, yes, probably in the next couple of days we're going to be heading back out to see what caused this storm that kind of wrecked things.
Willow bobs a little bit closer to you. You can see she's kind of frowning, and she goes, you know, Autumn, I'm not like you entirely. I don't seek out these adventures to try to help people. I'm far more selfish, and I've got to say I'm not thrilled with the notion of you leaving so soon and for an kind of indeterminate amount of time.
Yeah, if we're being completely honest, I'm a little concerned. This feels a lot more vague in the direction we'll be heading this time, where last time it was like, hurry up and find some kids. Now it's just solve vague problems so it doesn't happen again.
And by vague problem, you do mean the one that killed people in town and destroyed it, like, buildings.
Yes, but also, like, how do you stop a hurricane? Like, I'm not saying
I don't know. I didn't volunteer to do that.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, I'm not going to tell a secret society no. They're planning on having us do a blood oath soon.
The secret society is a pretty big motivating part for you, isn't it? I can tell that.
I mean, yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's just like in all the books I read, so it's pretty cool.
She kind of looks off to the side and goes, Is that what it is for you? Is there usually, like, some big motivation, like, driving you into the wilds?
Yeah, I mean, sort of. I don't know. Like, at a certain point, like, I haven't found my purpose in town. Like, here or back home or former home. And it feels like I can do some help in the wilds and help people and prevent people from being hurt. And that feels like a lot more direction than I've had in a very long time.
That makes a lot of sense. She floats really close to you and wraps her arms around your waist and kind of like snuggles into you and whispers in your ear, would you like to kiss me, Autumn?
She kisses her.
As you like start moving towards her, she backs up and goes, then come back from the wilds. I think you have a purpose to be in town now. And she kind of like cheekily kisses you on the cheek and then goes, now get on.
She hops on the board.
She motors back towards the beach.
Willow, I don't know if anyone's told you this before, but you're a little bit of a tease.
No, I've just figured out that what you need is to be motivated. You need a goal and you need a direction. I'm just giving you that. Come back to town. Don't go get killed by a giant storm monster thing.
I promise.
You better.
She takes out a marker from her bag, like when they get back to shore. And she writes, when I get back on her arm. on Willow's arm, being the her.
I got what you meant. Willow smiles and goes, I'm going to hold you to this. I would prefer, by the way, if that had a more specific date, but I will take the open-ended rain check.
Now that I have some motivation to come back, me too.
She squeezes your hand and gives you a hug before she, you know, picks her board up, like takes the sail down. And walks off towards, I don't know, I don't think I've ever decided where Willow lives. I think she probably lives in a weird beach house. Like a very kitschy little beach bungalow.
I'm cool with that.
All right, so this is one of those times when the answer can be no. Is there anything else that anyone wants to do in town, basically, before you guys decide how much food you want to carry and leave?
I want to pick up some chalk.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that.
We did, but I'm putting it on the podcast for posterity.
That is fine. That is fine. Yes, you can go get yourself, like, a little chalk kit for, You said this is kind of like, to you would be like almost like a religious thing, right?
Yeah, it's like religious chalk. And like, not like, okay, I'm going to get real in the weeds for a second. It's kind of like communion where it's like, it's religious wine once it's like religious wine.
So it's just chalk, except that it's been consecrated or whatever.
Well, no, it's like it's chalk until it's like being used for something specific. Like,
so chalk you have, we're good there. Anyone else got anything they want going on?
Caitlin would like to ship Willow and Autumn harder, but it's not possible. So, no.
Can we just have... I thought that was the whole... I thought that was going to be the whole episode. Like, the an hour of this day.
Right.
It's only... It's not even been 20 minutes. What are you guys doing?
No, because I am not going... Because, as I said, we're leaving this hour.
Yeah. That's the cliffhanger at the end of the episode, is we leave right after the date ends. But the date takes up the entire episode.
Technically, we weren't in town because we were in international waters, therefore...
There aren't nations. Does anyone else want to do anything in town?
No.
Can I say that I go to the library and request books? I don't need to roleplay that.
Yeah, actually, you can, yeah.
I just put in a request for, like... I think Autumn has already perused the collection of the library before to, like, see if they have any pulp books.
Are you going to swap some with Mitchell?
I am, but I think, okay. Like, I think Autumn reads quite a bit.
Okay.
And she has 5 books that she's read a lot.
And I think they already did that, right? I think she and Mitchell already did a book swap, right?
They haven't yet. They just talked about it.
Oh, okay.
I would like to do that. My assumption is, like, we make plans to do a book swap, like, before we head out, like... I assumed he was going to send us off for some reason. I don't know why I made that assumption.
Okay, I am going to ask all of you to stop hedging and straightforwardly answer the question with a yes or no. Is there anything else you want to do in town before you are imminently leaving?
No.
I said no.
I want to, if Mitchell's not sending us off, I want to book swap with Mitchell. It doesn't need to be a thing, though.
Okay, so aside from that, any other sound-ins?
No.
Okay. We are going to cut forward to... Mandy, what was that restaurant you made up?
The Smoke and Bone?
No, there was another one.
No, you're talking about the really awful one?
Yeah.
Reef and Beef.
Yeah, Reef and Beef. So,
That's awful.
Excitingly, actually, Matthew has recently got himself hired on at Reef and Beef.
No. No.
He's you know, like an apprentice chef there right now. He was showing a great deal of promise. He's become quite popular in town. So he invites all of you to kind of like a send-off dinner, like, you know, as you guys are going to be leaving soon. So you all find yourself at Reef and Beef, which is on the coast. It's like...
Is it like the manatee beef?
Yeah. That is the Reef and Beef that it is talking about. This restaurant, it's like... I would say Estelle knows this from talking to Matthew, so she might be able to like give you guys a heads up. Like, look, it is good food, but it's a tourist place. So like you walk in there and it's like there's definitely live music playing, like kind of a little bit too loud. There's like families wearing big stupid hats. The wait staff all wear costumes. It's that type of place, right?
Oh no, that is not what I thought when I came up with that name.
Oh yeah, it's called Reef and Beef. It's embarrassing in there.
Is everything, like all the walls are completely done like with blown glass to be reefs?
Oh yeah. And like shark's teeth, you know, like when you walk in, like if it's your birthday, they definitely have a volcano cake that erupts at the table. You know, that you have to wear a poncho to order. It's embarrassing, right? So you're all like sitting there having dinner, just kind of like this is your sort of like last meal before you head off. Matthew told all of you to come at this time, but he hasn't shown up yet. So I'll kind of, you know, if you guys want to chat with each other before.
This place seems pretty cool, isn't it? I've not been here before.
I don't know if cool's the word I would use for this, but they have really good margaritas.
I mean, have you seen what they do if it's your birthday?
Fred, did you tell them it was your birthday?
I haven't, but that's a good idea. I have to think about that one.
Wait, is it your birthday?
When is your birthday?
It is now.
As you guys are chatting amongst each other and Estelle is drinking, like, I guess what can only be described as a fishbowl full of margarita with way too many...
It's called a moon-garita?
A moon-garita?
Because it's so big.
It's got little glowing balls in it, you know, in a novelty bowl. like a blown glass bowl.
The ice cubes are spherical.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And kind of like tactlessly, they explode two of them.
No! No!
There's two shattered ones in there, and it's like a little bit edgy to order this drink.
They've got like the crushed ice and then the spherical.
So there's two people who order this drink, like ringists and people who want to drink a lot of margarita, and you never know which one they are.
But it's not which one you think.
But so Juliet's sitting there going like, is she a ringist? I'm not 100% sure that she's not a ringist.
Autumn has a normal-sized moon garita.
There is no normal sized moon garita.
Well, is it a moon garita? Is that like the drink now? Or the like? Is the moon garita a big one?
I thought moon garita was like specifically at this place. Like the moon garita is a margarita in a giant thing with spherical ice cubes and crushed ice.
So you just have a margarita.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if it was, like, sorry, I was confused. So what you're saying is mine is no moon.
I was trying to figure out how to slip that joke in there, and I couldn't find it.
So as all of you are sitting there, you see two people walk in together, which is Matthew and Sheriff Mitchell. Matthew looks over at you and like smiles and waves and comes over and just like shoves you kind of like over in a booth, Estelle, and sits down next to you. And Sheriff Mitchell kind of like awkwardly drags a chair over and sits down. Matthew looks down and just goes, ma'am, you know, that's meant for like a party, right? It's like not a one person drink. It's meant for like the table shares it usually. And then he like starts getting out a straw and he's like, I'm just going to take myself a sip.
No, get away. No.
Well, it's fine. I make them. It's fine. I have to taste test every single one that goes out.
I've taste tested it. It's fine.
Couple questions. One, remind me how old Matthew is, and two, what's the drinking age?
16 and 16.
He's like 16, 17. And the drinking age has never been established because I did not think about it.
I think the drinking age is yes.
All of you make me perception checks of some sort. Notice these types of things.
4.
2. 2.
0. I am getting hammered.
Okay, Juliet, you look over at Matthew, and it's like, oh yeah, normal Matthew. And then you realize he's wearing a pin just like the ones that you got for the Wild Watchers. He just like has it out though, just like boom, just right on there. He's definitely like, he still carries a cane and has got like a little bit of bandaging left. And you just notice that.
Matthew, that's a new pin. Where did you get that from?
Oh, I got it from Sheriff Mitchell. So here's the deal. So we
what?
We me and look, Mom. I can already tell you're gonna be mad.
Mitchell, what?
All right. So just calm down. All right.
Estelle leans behind Matthew, grabs at Sheriff Mitchell's like shoulder, goes, Mitchell, what the fuck?
Matthew just looks over at the sheriff and goes, does this constitute creating an atmosphere of readiness for when the wild attacks? And he's just like slapping at your hand. I'm creating an air of readiness, sheriff. Look, I gotta. Sheriff Mitchell just kind of like pops the hand off of him a little bit and goes, now, look, I heard what you said. What you told me was...
Did you?
Yes, I think so. What you told me was we needed to prepare the town for when wild things happen to us. Now, I think it's fair to say that Matthew was not particularly prepared, but he was by far the most prepared person we had. So, basically, I need an assistant to do that. And the best person I have in town to do that...
And you chose Matthew?
Is Matthew, yes. I think he'll be great. Look, all the young people look up to him. All the people that are able-bodied enough to be emergency responders already worship the grounds he walks on after he became, like, the town hero while you were gone. So, he's very capable, he's very resourceful, he's good under pressure, so yeah, he's a member of the society now, you know, the Wild Watchers, and his job is to basically be the liaison between us and the town and building up a group of people able to respond when the wilds become dangerous at our doorstep.
I think Autumn's like whispering to Matthew, being like, it was really cool though, right? You know, like being very explicitly not helpful.
Matthew looks at Autumn and goes, now look, all right. Now, you might think you're, like, really cool out there in the wilds, but right when there's buildings falling here, that's Matthew's domain. He's the best at it.
I'm impressed.
You say that, then Matthew goes, now, how impressed are we talking? Like, impressed enough for maybe dinner after this with me? I get great prices here.
Estelle punches Matthew in the arm.
What?
Would you stop? First of all, I don't want to hear that.
Do you want to go to dinner with someone who's your mom's friend?
I'm my mom's friend. Why can't I go to dinner with someone else who's my mom? I would hope whoever I go to dinner with also likes my mom.
Okay, I mean, like, different than what I'm used to.
Did you not like, did you, like, your parents never like any of your, like, dates? Did you never meet their parents? Did you just, like, never bring anyone home?
I don't have to answer that.
I mean, that's weirder than what I just did. That's definitely weird.
I just didn't ever introduce anyone I was dating to my parents. I didn't meet them because of my mom.
Generally, what happens with me is when I start dating someone, they introduce themselves to me, mom. So, you know, that happens.
Wait a minute. Are you dating Alexis?
We haven't put a label on it. You know, we're living together at the moment just because, you know, it's like a bunch of us are living in that house. So, you know, we're hanging out. We're seeing each other. Socially.
Hold up. Then why did you ask me out to dinner?
As I said, we have not put a label on it yet. I don't think I'm the only person she's seeing, all right? We're not engaged to be married.
Fair enough, I guess.
Yeah. The ultimate question, but are you married?
Anytime Estelle has not been talking, she has just been very concentrated on her Moongarita.
Sheriff Mitchell goes, Estelle, now I understand you're upset, but what you have to look at this as is the next time something bad happens, Matthew won't be alone. He'll have people that he trusts helping him who are ready to help him, besides just old busted me.
At this point, Autumn's trying to catch his eye as he's talking to, like, behind, like, Estelle, and being like, no, like, shaking her head, like, no, no.
So... During this conversation, Fred is going to get up and go to the bar and come back with a Moongarita. and when he sits back down, he's going to be like, I'm having too much fun watching this to not be drunk also while I'm doing it.
Do you go to the bar and end up with like the equivalent of like a Hawaiian lei around you, you know, like whatever the tourist thing they have here is?
It's like a little glass bead necklace.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have like four of them.
Absolutely.
Juliet's gonna go to the bar. She's gonna bring back waters for everyone and just like shove them next to the Moongaritas.
I knew she was gonna get us waters.
I love it.
Sheriff Mitchell takes the water and goes, "Oh, thank you. That's quite nice. I've been on my feet all day. I'm parched." And just glug glug glugs down his water. And goes, "Ooh, refreshing." Now, as I was saying, giant margaritas aside, full of planets, I wanted to tell you this before you left because I thought that you would want to know, and also because I just, you know, Matthew's fantastic and I'm excited to work with him.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want to hear before I'm going out in the wild, is that I'm going to be worrying about my son the entire time I'm out there.
Well, I don't think you should.
Do you even think about this kind of thing?
Yes, but like, look, here's the deal. Do you want to know? Let me illustrate. Matthew, while your mom was gone, if there was another disaster, would you have immediately run straight into it despite the fact that you're still a little bit hurt?
Yeah, definitely would. Do you know how popular I am? I would immediately run back into you. Now, mom, look, I know you ain't dated in a while, but do you know how many people... Do you know how many people have talked to me because of this? Do you know?
I don't want to hear
how popular it has made me.
I've seen how popular it's made you. I don't really want to hear about that.
That's what I'm saying. Look, you're new to town, all right? No one knows you anymore, except your grandma and grandpa. What I'm saying is, you need to up your social capital.
Mitchell, he is not ready for this.
Now, look, I resent that.
I think I'm very ready for... wait a second. Now, I feel that I am ready, as I was very successful in helping people. And also, frankly, if you're going to wander out into the wilds and leave me by myself, I don't think you really get to decide if I'm ready or not.
Juliet hands him a water.
You are injured.
Well, a little bit injured.
You hurt yourself by doing something you have no training in.
I actually, we're working on that. See, that's what we're doing.
You need to heal. You need to... Mitchell, you cannot have him as your assistant.
I'm not...
When I said you needed help, I wasn't talking about Matthew.
I don't know who else to turn to. He's by far the most competent person.
Oh, there's no one else. There's no one else in this whole town that you can ask to help you.
No one else did as well as he did. All right, so here's the thing. I did. I didn't ask Matthew for help. I asked the town for help. And the person that showed up and ran into a building was Matthew. So, yes, that is actually who I do have to lean on at the moment. And I'm not going to have him run into a building where he's still... Well, he's still walking with a cane, all right? We'll wait until he's back to normal.
Oh, thank you.
But beyond that, I also don't think I could stop him. Like, legitimately, I don't think I could stop your son from doing whatever he wants, is the thing. So I'd rather support him in doing the things that he's going to do rather than try to, like, chain him. I guess I could chain him up.
Oh, kind of like what you do with us. Like, you don't really want us to be going out in the wilds, but you're kind of supporting us because we know we're going to do it anyway. That kind of thing?
That's actually pretty accurate, yeah. Almost identical scenario, yeah.
Also, I feel like your track record with locking people up is not the best right now.
I've never managed to do it, that's true. I was cleaning out a broom closet for Mal, and she ran, so... No, I'm not great at it.
Estelle picks up her giant Moongarita and leans back in her seat and just drinks.
Fred, do you think it's time for your birthday now?
As you say that, the wait staff, like, comes in singing a song. They're, like, throwing confetti as they have this giant platter as they slide it across the most awkward table ever in front of Fred. There's, like, what are the like, spinny, cracky things called? You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
You spin them and they go crack, 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 crack. What are those called?
And it's just a noisemaker.
Noisemakers?
Yeah, they're like noisemakers, you know, yeah. They sing like a little song like from Emperor's New Groove, you know? Like, happy, happy birthday, we wish it was our birthday so we could party too. Hey, and like then the volcano erupts and like Estelle is grumpily sitting there drinking her drink as she gets like splattered a little bit with chocolate. Sheriff Mitchell's just, like, awkwardly splattered in the face. Meanwhile, Matthew's, like, lied and told him it was your birthday because I wanted this, and just starts, like, scooping up cake onto a plate.
So do they... Wait, so are they singing to Estelle?
No, they were definitely singing to Fred. They were singing to Fred.
Okay.
I like the idea of Matthew doing this to Fred.
Oh, well, I mean... Save me from having to lie to him about that is my birthday. I was going to, like, heavily imply to them that was my birthday, but not actually, like, say it. But thanks, you did it for me.
Matthew leans across to him and goes, now look, here's the deal, all right? Generally, no one works every night, so you can do it, like, 3 times in a year. But then after you do it more than that, you're going to start having overlap and wait staff, and they'll realize, but... You could probably get away 3 to 4 times a year. You're fine. You know, just spread them out. Try to go on different nights. You're going to be fine.
It's good to know. I'll keep that in mind.
Matthew just, like, plates it up and goes, now the most awkward cake I've ever eaten. He weighs.
Autumn with a mouthful. Still good, though.
It is, right? It's really good. Juliet, get in on this. I know you haven't drunk nothing. I've only eaten water and salad.
Eaten water?
Yeah, it looks delicious. Mind if I... She, like, takes him. Oh my gosh, it's so good!
Matthew just, like, puts a fork over to Estelle and goes, stop being mad, Mom. Stop being mad.
She swats at him.
Stop being mad! Try the cake! Awkward cake.
It's funny because no one can see Mandy making the very mom face of, please leave me alone. I'm so mad right now, but I'm not going to lash out at my child. Please stop. Please stop. Please stop.
Both hands are squarely on the bowl. No, I'm sorry. One hand's on the straw.
All right, you guys have the most awkward dinner ever.
Oh, no, I mean, Fred's having a grand old time.
He's got his margarita. He's got his volcano. He's set.
So Autumn goes, do we want to leave tomorrow? Looks at the margarita that's like, you know, 4-4 that's been drank by one person. The day after tomorrow?
Nah, the best cure for a hangover, you know, you just a lot of water and then, you know, some painkillers and like, what was it, vitamin E, D, one of them, one of the vitamins.
Do you have a lot of experience with this, Matthew?
He looks at his mom and goes, nah.
I don't know if he's implying that he drinks or she drinks with that.
Estelle gives him the equivalent of the middle finger. I'll be fine to go tomorrow. We can go tomorrow.
I'll pack extra electrolytes.
Okay, so, you know, your dinner winds down. Y'all head off to bed.
As everyone is, like, heading off, Estelle stops Sheriff Mitchell. Will you please keep an eye on him for me?
That's basically what I'm doing. Like, either he does this with my help and with the help of some other people, or he's going to run off and do this by himself. Not unlike someone else I know, by the way.
I don't want to hear about that. All right, I'm not talking about me.
There's some things in common here, is what I'm saying.
I'm talking about Matthew.
I know that. And yes, I'll keep an eye on him. Can you keep an eye on the other three of your friends?
What do you think I do out there?
I don't know. I don't know, but, you know, I kind of don't want to, and that's the point.
Yes, I will make sure we all come back.
Great. Because, by the way, I think that Willow has talked to me, and she's made veiled threats. If particularly Autumn doesn't come back, and the professor will lose his mind if Juliet doesn't come back, and I think Honey would start talking to me again if Fred doesn't come back, so... all of them are essential.
You know, I feel like I should feel bad that you keep getting threats from people, like Fred wanting to punch you and Willow giving you veiled threats. Guess what? I'm going to give you one, too. Anything that happens to Matthew, it's going to happen to you.
Are you going to break my... I don't want to go through the list of things that happened to Matthew last time. I don't like this deal.
All right, then you better make sure he stays safe this time.
I'll chain him up. Fine. All right, you like that? I'll get cuffs.
No,
we'll tie him to a post next time there's a disaster.
You don't have to chain him up. Just don't let him break anything else.
Freaking Caitlin over there, by the way, making suggestive face.
No, you don't have to chain him up. Just don't let him break anything else.
I will do my best. Hopefully another instance won't come up and we won't have to worry about it. All right, and now all of you get to the fun thing where you get to tell me how much food you're carrying with you.
So I'm assuming, like, beforehand we, like, did a little bit of planning before, you know, like, all this awkward dinner happened. How many days do we think we're going to be gone?
You do not know that.
How many days were we gone last time?
3 to 4.
And this thing's big, so we're probably going to be out there for a while.
No, it was more than that. It was like three to four to get out to the Blighthound's lair and then back.
Oh, that's true. That's true. That was one way. So like 8 days total. Yeah.
Okay. No, it was like 5 or 6.
Yeah, because there was like the first couple days we did specifically, and then had a couple like longer travel montages that were nebulously timed.
Oh, no, it was that you found motorcycles. That's how you traveled so fast.
Well, no, even on the way out there.
Right, but you were still traveling at the same speed. There was just less event tiles.
Okay.
Yeah, basically, like, we walked the same, or it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't see a reason why we wouldn't carry, like, to capacity almost, you know?
That would be how many days?
Well, I mean, like, it depends on how much...
Depends on what else you're carrying.
How much does my walking stick spear weigh, Cody?
Oh, that is a good question. And that's also something I told you I was gonna figure out.
I need to know how much my glowy grabby weighs, too.
Glowy Krabby.
Let's call your spear 4 pounds, and Caitlin, let's call your Glowy Krabby 5 pounds. And then, Vinny, let's say that you have lost a total of 5 pounds of that fancy metal.
Okay. I'm going to have to get more of that. You okay with an axe being 4 pounds, Cody?
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Okay.
And then food is 2 pounds per day?
2 pounds per day.
I can handle.
Capacity 40?
Capacity 40.
I think I can go like 4 days. Yep, 4 days.
I can go 9 days.
I can carry 10 days worth of stuff if I go to capacity.
I'm going to have to do a little bit of math because of Guffy, and I'm splitting up the weight. So you'll have to give me a little bit. I'll jump in when I've got it.
Yep, you're good. Really, as long as you guys know, I don't actually have to know.
I think we talk about it, and like we also like kind of decide, like, okay, like this person can carry like food for you, you know, like we're working as a team, you know.
No, you're just gonna let Juliet starve, right? We're going Harfoot logic from Rings of Power. Like, you fell off the trail, you die.
No one gets left behind except for Juliet, who can't carry more food.
Just imagine Juliet with a broken foot just screaming in pain as she tries to push a cart, and the rest of you are just like, she's dead already.
Fast forward to a scene after day five. We fast forward and sitting around the fire, and Fred's like, hey, Juliet, why aren't you eating? Did you not pack enough food? Like, what's going on there? Like, oh, I didn't have enough room. Oh, man, that's too bad. I had, like, I've got, like, 8 more days worth of food. Oh, well.
Cool. Should have been more prepared. Happily looks at her as he eats his soup.
No, that just means Juliet's going to have to become really good at hunting and fishing.
So, Caitlin, I'm curious what you're carrying that is weighing you down so much.
Everything.
Everything?
She's got a lot more than we do.
My backpack is 4 pounds. I have a cooking set. I have like a pocket knife. I have my crank flashlight.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, yeah. I guess you got a lot of little things that add up.
Yeah. My insulated quilt and pad.
Jack squirrel bones is on your list.
Oh, you can get rid of those. You gave those.
They're marked as zero. They're just, I was looking through what she had.
Gotcha.
Yeah, those are like arrows in Skyrim.
Okay, I have 6 days worth of food between me and Guffy. Technically, I could probably do one more day, but I kind of want room for in case we find anything.
Okay, so you guys, you know, sleep your last night in Smoky Banks before making your way up at dawn to the ruins. It's kind of a, I don't want to say a familiar sight, but there is like a familiar feeling as you walk through this kind of like main thoroughfare through these ruins that lead out into the larger forest outside of the city or outside of Smoky Banks. And again, as you walk, it's an odd feeling. You know, eventually you're deep enough in the ruins that it's like hard to remember how big they are. Like, as you walk, you realize that you're in a destroyed city that is, like, roughly the size of Smoky Banks. Just these, like, collapsed stone buildings that have long overgrown with plant life and decayed down. And as you look around, you realize, like, these are quite massive and relatively unexplored because they're kind of in an area that is considered protected and also a little bit dangerous. As you walk, too, there is, like, this kind of, like, odd lurching sense of vertigo as you really fully leave society behind you and are now just off into the stretching old trees around you of a, you know, forest that has been largely untouched. This time, when you first get out into the wilds, like last time you were trying to track down a dog, right? You did that by footprints. This time you're trying to figure out, well, what caused this storm that wrecked the city, right? You found, like, weird bugs and stuff like that. You know there was a storm that kind of preceded whatever thumping there was that you saw of some giant thing walking around. So you don't necessarily immediately see footprints, probably, because you could intuit that those would be extremely far apart and kind of hard to find because this thing is so huge. But I would like all of you to make, like, some kind of investigation check just in, like, this first tile where you guys are. And I'm actually going to pull open Roll20.
All of us?
Yeah. So I do have a quick question about the Roll 20.
Sure.
Smoky Banks is on a coast, right?
Yep.
Which direction is that coast?
To the west.
I think from the World Anvil it was to the west?
Yes.
Yes, it was. Yeah, it's to the west.
Okay. Because the Roll 20 doesn't have a coast or an ocean on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious, like, does that mean we just can't go west unless we have a boat?
You've never tried to go west.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I understand what the Roll 20 is.
I can say this. Right now you're standing in a forest, and last time you went south, and this time you don't know what direction you're going, you've never tried to go west.
Right.
If you want to, you can try to go that way and see what's over there.
What are we rolling for again? What type of roll is this?
You're just rolling an investigation check in this first tile.
Can I use danger sense, or do you want me to use inquisitive?
I think inquisitive makes more sense here. You're not immediately in danger.
Okay.
I'm using investigate and plus three. I have a plus three total.
Estelle has a plus one.
Got two.
That'll be a one.
Okay. So it's kind of odd, right? So you walk out of the ruins and you're all just kind of like walking through this forested area. You know, there's the occasional clearing. Right where you are, there's a little stream kind of running from the east, right? So the stream would be going west, sorry. So there's a stream kind of running through this area. And as you kind of like walk your way around, a few of you notice a few different things. So I'm going to say Autumn and Estelle, nothing immediately jumps out at you. Like, Autumn, particularly for you, this is kind of like out of your element. Like, there just isn't a lot to notice. And Estelle, you don't immediately see any odd creatures, maybe just that it's a little bit quieter than it was last time, and that kind of jumps out at you. Juliet, you make your way down to the water, and you're kind of like looking around, and what you immediately notice is, similarly to Estelle, like, you don't hear a lot of immediately like animal noises, like you're not hearing as many birds, there aren't like squirrels jumping around, you don't see maybe like some river mammals around, you don't hear any birds, things like this, right? But as you kind of crouch down near this stream, you can see just like little skitterings of bugs. And as you reach your hand down and pick one up, you recognize it as the weird insects that you found initially from Smoky Banks in the gardens, right?
Yeah, okay.
Fred, you meanwhile, like, you're kind of walking by yourself, you know, you've like separated from the group a little bit. And you're just kind of like looking around at this sort of multicolored kaleidoscopic forest around you. You know, like the trees are like this really pretty, like dark purple that lead up into like green and red and like pink leaves all around you. And you're like, wow, this is pretty. And then you look down and you just see one of those builder beetles just crawl its way like over a little hill and just like sit up on its hind legs looking at you. And then it like hits the ground. You can like feel the ground shake as this thing that probably weighs something like 400 pounds hits the ground.
Okay, so, okay, that was going to be my question. It's the same size as the one I fought in town then.
Yeah, it's big. And it just kind of like crawls its way through the forest. So you can just see like this shiny dome crawling its way through. And it like finds some soft dirt, burrows in it, and you see it like regurgitate a seed, cover it up, and then it just kind of like skitters off, just continuing to do that over and over and over again.
So it's not like paying attention to me at all. It saw me, but it's not, or didn't even see me.
Doesn't seem to care.
Okay.
It definitely saw you.
Okay. Yeah, Fred is going to head back to the group. I assume I catch up with them.
Yeah.
Guys, I saw another one of those giant beetle things that was in my shop when we got back to town. It was up that way. Kind of just run around burying seeds? It's a little weird, but it definitely saw me, but it didn't seem to care that I was out here.
What did it do with the seed? It had one in your house too, right?
Did it, Cody?
I thought I had fibers from it.
Yes, yeah. Yes. You guys found that seed in your house, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think so. I think it was that same thing. It just, I guess it had swallowed it or something, and it like vomited it up or something. I don't really know. It was kind of gross. But yeah, I just kind of like made a little hole in the ground, spit it up, and then buried it, and then went on to do that again somewhere else.
Juliet, did you ever find out what that seed was?
Doc Marlin was interested in it, but said he hadn't seen it before.
What you would know about it is non-native and really big.
It's oddly large for this area. And I found more of the insects that we found in the gardens, given the strange silence here. I'm wondering if these are potentially invasive. I feel like, Estelle, you might know a bit more about that sort of thing. I'm worried that they're upsetting the ecosystem is my main concern.
Yeah, I don't think we came to any conclusion in the last few weeks. I certainly haven't had a whole lot of time to take a look at them since I've been dealing with all the other animals in town. So, I mean, invasive, yes, but I don't know if harming... I haven't seen any evidence yet of them harming the ecosystem, but I am concerned that they're also out here and how that's affecting the area out here.
I mean, what they did to town was pretty destructive, so I'm also concerned about what it'll do to the ecosystem. Like, their nests destroyed houses, so...
Cody, can I do a danger sense roll? I am concerned that it is quieter than normal.
So what I'll say is you've kind of asked a lot of questions about what's happening in the wilds due to, like, new insect stuff. I'm fine with you guys trying to, like, hang around and figure out why that is. I will say it's going to take some time. And so, like, you'll be able to go less far in a day if you, like, stick around here and go, like, we want to spend some time just figuring stuff out. That being said, there's a trade-off there. I'm not going to make this valueless.
Right. I kind of think it's pretty valuable because these things came with the storm. If they're here doing stuff, I might want to figure out what it is.
I think Estelle would want to know, and I guess maybe this doesn't need a role. What I'm curious about is, like, birds are predatory in this world. Are they scared? Are they away because, like, they don't like what's here?
So I would say that, like, you and Estelle could make roles on this to do, like, natural science.
I am Estelle.
Oh, sorry. Juliet and Estelle could make roles on this to, like, do natural science and figure this out.
Can Autumn help in any way?
In this case, I don't want to say no in, like, a rude way, but, like, I don't think that you would have more than what you've already done. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I just didn't know if there's a way that I could make their, like, give them a plus one or something with their role by making their lives easier, you know?
I would say if you wanted to try to make an aspect and could justify it to me narratively, I'm not going to say no, but that has to be, like, justified narratively somehow.
Could I use research, or should I do animal anatomy?
What are you guys either specifically doing?
Animal handling or danger sense? It depends on what this is.
Based on what you said, I'll give you danger sense in this case, but I'm going to answer in terms of danger sense.
Okay.
I got a 4.
Okay.
I got a 3, and I would say what Estelle is doing is, which are we looking at? We're looking at both bugs in this area, right?
Yeah, I'm going to give you, like, if you're spending time in this tile, say you guys are, like, doing research, right? You're, like, observing what these insects are doing, trying to, like, see how it affects other life. I'll give you that you guys are both, like, field researchers and could gather information in a chunk of time, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I would say Estelle is probably doing something pretty boring, which is observing the bigger bug and it planting and trying to get a sense of what it's doing, how much of the area it's... Oh, you know what? I don't know if this would be something... But if Estelle is watching the big beetle, could she send Autumn to, like loosely map out how big of an area?
Oh, like pace off.
Yeah, how big of an area it's destroying.
Oh, yeah. Okay, this is actually going to be fun now. Yeah.
Oh, no.
I was going to say Juliet was going to take the little bug that she found. We said it looked like a cross between a grasshopper and a praying mantis, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to try to find... Is she able to find any, like, native wildlife if she looks hard?
Why are you asking that?
I think because she would try to, like, put the invasive species in an area with a native one and see if it, like, attacks it, if it, like, pushes it, if how they interact.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to handle Mandy and Zach first. So
that's fine.
Estelle, you're like following this big bug around, right? And like Fred had told you about this, so he's probably like showed you where it was, and you guys are kind of like walking around together. And what you notice is that it is planting seeds where they are like advantaged places. Like it seems to pretty easily find, like anytime it finds an area where there is like sunlight, it's good water, good soil, that's where it puts seeds, right? And it is destructive in a way, right? So it is removing whatever plants are there in its way, right? And it's kind of like big. So you can like see trails where it's torn up the ground and planted these seeds every so often, right? You can see damage done by that. And then the other thing, just like, this is kind of like you guys ended up doing the opposite thing. So it's sort of funny, but like this, these, if these grow really big, like they might shade out other things. They would be competition for the natural wildlife that's forming here. And then, yeah, so you ask Autumn to go and just like try to like figure out how widespread this change is. Autumn, make me an athletics check or like some kind of, you know, acrobatics, something like that, you know, physical prowess check.
That'll be a 6.
Okay, cool. So, Autumn, you're just kind of like, oh, okay, so you're just kind of like hopping along through the forest.
I shrug off my back, like, since we're like setting up for a while, like, I leave my backpack and just like go jumping around with a spear.
And as you do this, you're like kind of hopping from thing to thing to thing, and you can see like the further west you go. So, like, as you follow this creek kind of like away from the ruins, right? You can see that, like, you see a few more of those, like, larger beetles just kind of scampering around. The river itself seems to be, like, full of those, like, hopping praying mantis crickets that Juliet had shown you. And at one point, you're, like, standing, you know, with your spear, just kind of, like, surveying the area, kind of in this river basin. And you hear, like, a cracking, crunching sound. And you look up just in time to see one of those giant, beautiful trees just falling like right towards your head. And you have like that moment of like Willow going like, make sure you come back. And then you like roll into the water and the tree slams down like above you, right? And you're just like looking up into branches and foliage. And as you get up and crawl your way around, you can see right where that tree, the roots had been cut and broken by what looks like the mandibles of these giant bugs. And there's a seed planted there.
All right. These things are horrifying.
Anyways, we're going to kick back over to Juliet. So, Juliet, you like pick up one of these little bugs. And, you know, like to you, I mean, I'm wigged out by bugs, so, you know, this would be a nightmare to me. But they're, you know, not bigger than the palm of your hand. And I would say you could find, like, some kind of, like, small burrowing rodent nest, like a mole or, like, a vole, rather. That's what I'm thinking of, like, you know. And you set this little bug down, and you see it just scamper into the hole, and then more, like, a few more of those things kind of, like, crawl down into the hole. And then you just see them drag up dead voles and just start eating them.
Oh, no.
Just several as it just, like, these things just worm their way down into this hole and start scooping up bugs.
Wait, what?
Or start scooping up the like, rodents that are down in that hole. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the dead rodents.
And dragging them out. So it's like watching, like, an ant colony, like, right, carry off something much larger. Like, the voles are bigger than these little bugs, but they're working together.
Okay. Yeah, she's gonna run over to the group and maybe see that a tree has fallen.
Yeah, I guess you guys would all hear that.
Right, yeah. So I think she notices this horrifying thing and then hears the tree fall and then runs over, just kind of like stumbling over the torn up ground from these giant builder beetles. Everybody okay?
Autumn comes back soaking wet. Yeah, I'm good.
Are you sure? I have a towel. She like rummages around in her backpack.
I mean, that's appreciated. Thanks.
No problem.
Did you pack literally everything?
Well, I tried.
Well, I guess it's, you know, I can't knock it since it seems to be working really well. in my favor specifically right now.
Preparation is important.
Last time we were out here, I didn't have a flashlight.
Progress is what we're all about here.
What did you find out from walking around, Autumn?
They seem to be very destructive. That tree that fell over was because one of the giant bugs cut out all its roots and knocked over and then planted a seed there.
Oh.
So, as for damage to local ecosystems, I would rate that as high. Maybe even very high.
Yeah, it was already pretty high. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I was worried with, like, trees sprouting before, but now they're just, like, actively killing the forest to make room for their own forest.
Yeah.
Where are these things coming from, though?
I can think of a couple theories. One would be the storm creature, if we think it's a creature, has moved in these creatures from a different area, and they are now dominating this ecosystem. Or, I guess I don't have another theory. That's my theory.
Do we think the storm creature came from somewhere outside of the region and just wandered in, or...
I mean, it would have to, right? We're not suggesting that it had a spontaneous genesis out of nothing.
No, I mean, like, was it something that was just, like, sleeping here for, like, 100 years?
Frankly, I've never heard of a dormancy quite that long, but I suppose it's possible.
I would say based on the type of creatures these are, we're probably looking at something that came from somewhere else. Just because these bugs and those beetles have there's nothing that would suggest they would be from an area like this in the first place.
I suppose the other theory I could propose is that these bugs weren't pushed in against their will necessarily. They could have a symbiotic relationship with the storm monster and have been brought to the area because they were following it, in which case we could follow them back to the storm.
Or they could live on it.
What?
What if they live on it?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's a potential for sure. Unless you're suggesting it's below our feet right now.
And no,
like a giant sort of... Is that in one of your books? I feel like one of the covers showed a mountain moving, maybe. Not that I was examining them thoroughly or anything. It just seemed... I was bored one day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Wanderlust. Music for this show is credited down below. If you like this campaign, you can find more of our shows at the Wandering Gamer website or on Podbean. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links in the description. Now bear in mind, in the wilds, some wander to get lost, and some wander to find themselves.